Well, there's no doubt where we begin today. You might still be picking your jaw up off the floor following those scenes that were witnessed in the Oval Office yesterday evening. In those tense exchanges between Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and US President and Vice President Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. In the hours since that meeting, both Volodymyr Zelensky and Donald Trump have been commenting on what happened and what the fallout might be. This is what Donald Trump said to reporters as he boarded a plane to his Mar-a-Lago residence in Florida for the weekend after
the exchanges.
Now,
we'd say it didn't work out exactly great from his standpoint. I think he very much overplayed his hand. We're looking for peace. We're not looking for somebody that's going to sign up a strong power and then not make peace because they feel emboldened. And that's what I saw happening. And it was just my impression that if we do that, if we sign up, he's looking for something that I'm not looking for. He's looking to go on and fight, fight, fight. We're looking to end the death. Now, if we don't do anything, he's going to have to make peace, but he's dealing with a very weak set of cards. I want it to end immediately. I want a ceasefire now. He says, oh, I don't want a ceasefire. Well, all of a sudden, he's a big shot because he has the U.S. on his side. Either we're going to end it or let him fight it out. And if he fights it out, it's not going to be pretty. Because without us, he doesn't win, let me tell you.
And this is what Volodymyr Zelensky said on Fox News when he was asked by presenter Bret Baier if he owed President Trump an apology.
I respect President and I respect American people. And if, I don't know, if I think that we have to be very open and very honest. And I'm not sure that we did something bad. I think maybe sometimes some things we have to discuss out of media, with all respect to democracy and to a free media. But there are things that where we have to understand the position of Ukraine and Ukrainians. And I think that is the most important thing. Yes, we are partners. You know, we are very close partners. We have to be fair. We have to be very free.
And that was President Zelensky speaking to Fox News yesterday evening. As I say, our political panel includes Jerry Buttimer, Junior Minister at the Department of Transport in our Cork studio. I'll go to you first, Jerry Buttimer. Your constituency colleague, the Taoiseach, is travelling to Washington on the 12th of March. You've seen how the White House takes news it doesn't find palatable, but Ireland has messages to deliver that the US won't agree with. So how will those messages be delivered?
Thank you for having me on. I think, first of all of us who watched the events yesterday are deeply disturbed and stunned by the events in the White House. Diplomacy and engagement is about all of us as political leaders striving to achieve peace, and everybody wants to have peace, but that peace cannot be, you know, bought at any price. It must matter how we achieve it. And I'm very confident that, first of all, Micheál Martin, as the Taoiseach, will go to the White House. He's an experienced politician. He's a diplomatic man. He knows well how to speak on behalf of Ireland in terms of our continuing support and solidarity with the people of Ukraine, as he did in the Late Show last night. And in tandem with him, the Taoiseach will travel to the East Coast as well, where he will speak about us, you know, again, standing with Ukraine. It's important, as we saw with President Macron and Prime Minister Sturmer this week in the White House, that you can be firm, you can have a conversation, recognising that there are disagreements and issues, but the substantial matter here is that all of us want to have peace. Ireland and the European Union will continue to speak up for the people of Ukraine. As somebody, Cullum, who's been to Kiev with election monitoring prior to the war, the illegal invasion, and who's been there as Cathaoirleach de Shannon, I've seen firsthand the devastation. I've spoken to people who've lost family members, who've been injured. I've been there myself when there was an overhead attack and we were taken to bomb shelters. Just last night, after what happened in the White House, 154 unmanned aerial attacks took place with a tragic loss of life in Ukraine. That's what we're facing this morning. So I think all of us on the Western side recognise the importance of diplomacy, recognise the importance of engagement. But there is a need for leadership. There is a need, as we saw this week, by European leaders to stand firm and recognising that there is a road to travel yet.
OK, but Ireland clearly has a different perspective, even from a lot of Europeans, on the issue of Gaza, on President Trump's remarks on clearing the population of Gaza and developing it into some kind of a resort. Ireland clearly has a different perspective on the issue of Ukraine and what's required there. I suppose, going back to the original question, when you see how the White House responds to messages it doesn't like being delivered to them, does this affect how Ireland will deliver messages on those subjects?
I think the Taoiseach, again, has the ability to show President Trump that we are an independent nation, recognising that we have a strong, deep relationship with America. I found as Cathaoirleach de Shannon when I travelled to the States. I was in Congress. I met with Speaker Johnson. I met with the number three, Congressman Aldershot. I've reached across the aisle. So we can talk to Republicans and Democrats and we can have our message, because for us, it's about Ireland standing in solidarity with Ukraine. It's about Europe in terms of the security of Europe. And yes, the whole geopolitical landscape has changed in the matter of months. But what President Macron and the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom have shown is you can have a disagreement, you can forge your way forward. But as I said at the beginning, how we achieve peace does matter.
Okay. Eoin Oberyn, do you think it could be managed? Sinn Féin isn't going to Washington itself to attend White House events, but you do support the Taoiseach going. So in delivering the messages, should the message be calibrated for the Trump White House, given the response you've seen to President Zelensky last night?
I don't think the message should change, if that's really the question that you're asking. Ireland has a set of interests, economic interests, the peace process, the issue of the undocumented Irish in the US. But also both the Oireachtas and the people have very, very clear positions on the ongoing war in Ukraine and on the issue of Palestine. And the Taoiseach needs to make those views very, very clear. Obviously, look, we all watched the show yesterday. It is remarkable, but it is a feature of how Donald Trump is doing his business. It's not a surprise, particularly given the comments that he's made about both Ukraine and his appalling effective threats to the people of Gaza for them to be forcibly displaced from their homeland. So I think now is the time for strong political leadership, and whether it's what we say here, if Sinn Féin travels to the US in any of our engagements with politicians and Irish America.
It's not so much the message as the manner of the message, and Ruth Coppinger, maybe you'd come in on this as well. It's, you know, should that message be left for behind closed doors, or, you know, the public delivery of it in front of the cameras? Do you think that's what the issue was in the Oval Office yesterday?
I think if you spend your time wondering how Donald Trump is going to respond, you're starting from the wrong position. I think the message needs to be very clear, both publicly and privately, that both with respect to the Middle East and with respect to Russia's unjustified war in Ukraine, every effort has to be made and every pressure put both on Russia and on Israel for ceasefires or continuation of ceasefires, for ending of violence, for respecting the sovereign rights of people, whether it's the Palestinians or the Ukrainians, and for a negotiated settlement that allows people to live in peace and security. And that is a message that it is important to say publicly as it is in any private engagement, no matter who those engagements are with.
Okay, Ruth Coppinger, I mean, you're coming from the perspective of save yourself the bother and don't go to Washington at all, as far as the Taoiseach is concerned.
Well, I think definitely the public humiliation and bullying of Ukraine and Zelensky last night actually accelerates the idea that the Taoiseach should not go on behalf of the Irish people. I think it's good Sinn Féin and the SDLP and other parties aren't going, but I think we should be calling for nobody to go, because the big show is the photo op, is the bowl of shamrock sitting in the Oval Office, the very Oval Office, where we saw Ukraine being browbeaten and strong-armed into conceding a deal, a peace enforced from the US, which would not involve real peace for ordinary people in Ukraine or indeed in Russia, but would amount to handing over vital minerals and resources that the US wants its hands on. And the reason that it's happening is because the US and Trump wants to forge an alliance with Putin against China, which is really behind this as its main competitor.
But in terms of the Irish role in this, and sorry to cut across you on it, but Enda Kenny, in one of his St. Patrick's Day visits during the Trump tenure, you know, made remarks along the lines of, you know, the migrant roots of St. Patrick at a time when President Trump's policy on migration was at odds with Ireland's view of how migrants should be treated. I mean, there is an opportunity there to deliver a message, to possibly deliver it publicly. Is that not an opportunity worth taking?
I have absolutely no confidence any message of in any way opposing Donald Trump will be delivered by Micheál Martin. I don't think we've seen any indication of that. Micheál Martin hasn't actually spoken out yet about Donald Trump's comments in relation to Gaza, about his plan to ethnically cleanse Gaza for real estate profiteering. And he still hasn't made a clear statement on that. So I very much doubt he's going to go to Washington and deliver it in private. What this is about, he will make points about the economy, definitely, yes. And of course, our economic interests are important.
Right.
But if we've developed an economic policy that involves being blind and turn a blind eye to genocide, to normalising the likes of Trump, to normalising the likes of the turbocharged, you know, naked imperialist bullying that we saw last night, that's not a policy that I think we should be keeping up.
Okay, looking at apparently just for on Micheál Martin's remarks on President Trump's comments on Gaza on February 5th, he did say that the comments on Gaza were concerning. So he has comments.
Concerning isn't very strong, though.
Sure.
I
do want to ask you about another aspect of the issue, Jerry Buttermer, because Volodymyr Zelensky had a meeting with Micheál Martin at Shannon Airport on Thursday, and President Zelensky thanked him for the hospitality shown to Ukrainian refugees. But there is some discussion around whether that's going to change, whether the accommodation recognition payment might be reduced from 800 to 600 euro. And there's the whole issue around moving Ukrainian people out of one set of accommodation to others far away in the country as well. I mean, a practical show of solidarity to the people of Ukraine might be to hold off on that. How would you answer that?
And I'll answer it by just saying, first of all, that the Taoiseach has been clear about Gaza. Secondly, in terms of the protocol that Ruth speaks about, there are 15 ministers, including the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, going across America to not just speak about economic ties, but also in an uncertain global world to be that leader that the world needs. In the context, and I have every confidence in both Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, Ruth, going to the United States. As you rightly said, Colin, when Enda Kenny was Taoiseach, he showed quite clearly that he was in a different position to President Trump then, and he laid out that path. And I think similarly here, in the context of the ARP, in terms of there's no decision made yet. Ireland has been a welcome place for many Ukrainians since the war began. We've provided accommodation. There is no government decision taken yet regarding the ARP. Engagement is ongoing between the government departments. As listeners will know, the scheme was introduced to recognise the generosity of private citizens in providing accommodation to Ukrainian people on a humanitarian basis. That is under review. Right. No decision been made yet. But can I just make the point?
But that what about it is under review? Is the proposal to reduce it from 800 to 600 euro what's under review?
I think as members will know and listeners will know, it's always been a temporary measure. It isn't, you know, there forever. We have been a very welcoming place for thousands of Ukrainian people collectively and as a state and individually as citizens. We've been very welcoming. I think over 239 million euros been paid out. What is important is that we will be a place for Ukrainian families to come. As people know, they've set up home, set up jobs, employed, making a huge contribution in our communities, providing valuable insights that we would never have had.
I do want to ask the other panellists about this because Eoin Oberyn, your party is in favour of not proceeding with this payment, in fact scrapping it on the basis that it's skewing the rental market in some areas of the country. I don't know whether you read the Irish Red Cross's figures that were released during the week, which showed that 91% of people who had offered a room under this scheme were not landlords prior to offering that room. So where is the distortion of the rental market if most of the people, the vast majority, were not even landlords to begin with?
Sure. And we've always highlighted the fact that the purpose of the ARP was to bring into play accommodation that wasn't already available, people's homes or second properties that weren't in the rental market, and we supported it on that basis. But we also said, particularly in counties like, for example, Donegal, Mayo, Monaghan, where the ARP is higher than the after-tax average rents that are paid, there was always going to be a problem if it wasn't properly regulated. In fact, we asked the government and we made proposals as to how that distortion could be avoided. They ignored our advice. And if you talk to people in those counties, they'll tell you that there is an issue in those areas.
Okay, but just to be clear, the vast majority of people who are offered rooms under that were 62% are rooms in family homes.
That's right.
7% are in rooms in the property that are separate, perhaps in a granny flat style arrangement, and 30% are in a self-contained property, but that might include holiday homes, which may not be offered for rent. So again, where is the distortion of the rental market?
So first of all, any three of those accommodation types could have been already in the private rental sector. So for example, we have rent-a-room arrangements, we have granny flats,
which is worth considerably more.
And we have private rental stock. So what we're telling you is this has been an issue from the very beginning of the ARP. We've highlighted it. We've tried to get the government to accept and put in place measures to prevent it from happening.
But when you say it's an issue, what do you base that on? Because the Red Cross have surveyed providers, of the 18,000 providers, they've surveyed a sizable sample of them, 600 people, which would be larger than most opinion polls. And these are their findings. So is your information anecdotal?
No, well, first of all, the information that you've read out doesn't in any way contradict the position that I'm outlining. Because, for example, we have real cases where both self-contained accommodation and rental room arrangements have been withdrawn from people who are in the private rental sector, and there are now people from Ukraine living there. And that's not the fault of the people from Ukraine. Part of the issue here is we've long argued that government needs to move towards a not-for-profit, public-provided accommodation plan, both for people in receipt of temporary protection and for people in the international protection system. Their failure to do that means that people are then being left in these very difficult situations. So obviously, we're not calling for the ARP payment to be withdrawn from the people currently receiving it. What we want is we want the payment not to be open to new applicants. And we need a proper plan with proper quality accommodation for people, whether they're applying for refugee status, whether in receipt of temporary protection.
Okay.
This shouldn't be about profiteering. And unfortunately, we're seeing in a small but significant number of cases in certain counties, profiteering has crept in this, as it is in other areas where government is reliant on the private sector. Okay. We want not-for-profit, good quality, human rights compliant, publicly provided accommodation for people, whether they're from Ukraine or anywhere else in the international protection system.
Just to explain to listeners, it's €800 per property under the ARP scheme, and the rent-a-room scheme, which Eoghan Flynn mentioned there, is up to €14,000 tax-free. Ruth Coppinger, in terms of what the reception for Ukrainian people in Ireland has been and this ARP scheme, do you support its continuation and leaving it open to new applicants?
I don't think it's distorting the rental market in the way that Eoghan is saying. I think all of the evidence from the Red Cross survey was that people took a decision on a one-off, you know, first-time basis to take in people fleeing refuge, fleeing war. And a number of them have said it might encourage them to take in other refugees from other wars. I think that there is no doubt that there is a housing crisis, but it's not because of a shortage of houses.
Absolutely.
That. There's a massive number of vacant houses which the government hasn't forced into use. And we know that the public house building is the key issue. And I think that this is feeding in, unfortunately, to a very racist narrative that, you know, the far right and others are peddling. And I think, unfortunately, Sinn Féin have showed in their other call for payments to be reduced to Ukrainians down to the level of other refugees. And by the way, I agree that brown and black refugees have been discriminated against and there was a two-tier system. But everyone should be brought up, not bringing other people down. And
we
also have a labour shortage in this country as well, by the way. The idea that there's a problem...
Sure, I just want to let Eoghan O'Brien respond to that, and I'll go back to Jerry Buttimer then.
No, in fact, the very opposite. The fact that the government didn't take our advice initially, didn't put in place a mechanism to ensure that there was no displacement of properties from the private rental sector, that's what's actually been utilised by the far right. What we want is a very simple situation whereby people who are being temporarily accommodated by the state, whether seeking international protection or temporary protection are in a stream of accommodation that is separate to the private rental sector and mainstream public and private housing.
It's better that people are in homes and communities, actually.
It absolutely is, especially with
families and with other people. And most of these people are taken in one to three Ukrainian people, so it's not...
Part of the reason Jerry Butimer that there is such heat in discussions around this is because there are 15,286 people who are homeless, and amongst them 4,000 children. Now, I mean, that provides a pinch point for where people are accommodated. There's a situation in your own constituency in Cork, Ukrainian refugees living in student accommodation who had been told they'd be moved out. That's been paused. Are provisions being made and preparations being made for when that accommodation is no longer available to adequately support the people who are there?
Well, first of all, the people in the latter case you mentioned are in student accommodation, which will be required in the new academic year. Engagement has been ongoing between the department with the people involved. Thankfully, there's a pause, and hopefully a solution will be found in the coming days and weeks to ensure that we do have people who are making a valuable contribution in communities. I know myself from some of the people involved in that story, Colm, are involved in Meals on Wheels, in community activities. But I think the overarching commentary here is that Owen is epitomising the flip-flop in Sinn Féin policy again.
Can I just ask you, on the accommodation and the Ukrainians, are you in a position to confirm whether all plans to move Ukrainians out of those type of accommodations are on pause now?
I'm not in a position to give that unilateral confirmation, but being involved in this area, because it's in my own constituency, and I know some of the people involved, there is a pause in this one.
Okay, and that's fine. I do want to move on, because